Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And we're discussing now with Dr. Cole Kruse-Zelnitschi, who is best known as Dr. Cole, an Australian science communicator, a number of topics. But the first one I'd like to ask him about, and Dr. Cole, thank you so much for joining us here on the regular Wednesday slot, is what I mentioned a few minutes ago, restaurant tricks. And it certainly seems as though restaurants are using tricks to make sure that we pay more money than we intended. Am I right?
You are totally correct, Dr. Paula. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, have you noticed that in the restaurants you tend to be served food on a ridiculously large plate?
And the food is quite a little. Am I right? Am I following your logic?
So there's three reasons for having such big plates. The first one is the look of it. You can have fancier food arrangements, which amazingly actually makes the food taste better. Secondly, you've got a big plate and this tiny amount of food, and part of you thinks, oh my God, it's scarce. There's not much of it. And, you know, gold is scarce. And so therefore,
so
for no good reason, it's valuable.
It's so true.
And so therefore you think that this tiny amount of food is more valuable. And the final one is another psychological weirdity of the human brain. If you've got the same amount of food on a big plate or a little plate, once you've eaten it, if you've eaten it off the little plate, you feel fuller. If you eat it off the big plate, you feel a bit more hungry, which is exactly what the restaurant wants. They want you to be more hungry.
Unbelievable. So actually, we eat with our eyes as well.
We do, and our nose. Another thing they do is with the brain, they ham up the description. Instead of saying fish with rice and a bit of vinegar, it suddenly turns into pan-seared Atlantic salmon accompanied by a delicate saffron-infused risotto garnished with microgreens and drizzled with an aged balsamic reduction. You know, so more fancier is better. Now, there's another surprising one, that if you remove the currency symbol, suddenly it seems cheaper. So if it's 30 Rand or just 30, somehow you think that 30 Rand is a lot of money, but 30 is not as much money, which is an illogicality in the human brain, and it goes across all the different currencies, such as the dollar and the pound and the ruble and everything else.
Unbelievable. Is this something that restaurants do consciously?
Sure. They want to stay in business, and it's a really hard line of work. And just setting up a restaurant can easily cost you $100,000 just to set up. You know, so they do go broke, unfortunately. Another thing they do is realize that we tend to look at things in the top right-hand corner of the page of newspapers and so forth, or on computer screens. And so they have their most expensive items in that corner. Another trick is that after you've ordered the main course and eaten it, the waiter will come back and just leave the menu there and suggest the dessert. And you go, okay, you've suggested the dessert, therefore I will eat it. Fair enough. The next one is really surprising. If your waiter is slightly overweight, you will order four times as many desserts.
Wow.
So the waiter is giving you permission. And by the way, 17% more alcohol.
Wow. So I'm going to keep an eye out now for waiters, whether they're overweight or not, because then I'll know what this restaurant's up to.
Well, but they've got to employ everybody. Another trick they do, which is quite reasonable, is having an open kitchen where you can see the food being cooked. And the advantage of that is that you're salivating, you feel hungrier, and they incorporate that into the overall nice decoration and decor, the warm lighting, you know, yellow rather than blue, and slow music. But one thing that they still haven't got onto with today's technology is having noise reduction.
That would
In
be
the
good.
Overwhelming majority of restaurants, you can talk to the person to your left and right, and with difficulty to the person immediately across to you on the table, and that's kind of it. And there must be some way of using modern audio technology and AI and noise reduction that there's a little bubble of silence around each table, and you're not continually unable to make contact with anybody.
That's a very good point. And talking about AI, I've noticed appearing in the output of AI chatbots is a new term, vegetative electron microscopy. Is there such a thing? I mean, why is that even coming up on our AI chatbots?
It goes back to a scientific paper in 1958 in the journal Bacteriological Review. And by the way, vegetative is a real phrase, as in vegetative cell wall, the cell wall of a vegetable, of a plant, and also electron microscope or electron microscopy, that is also a real phrase. And in this particular paper in 1958, there were two columns. Yeah, so you start at the top, go all the way to the bottom, then jump back up to the top of the next column, go down, turn the page. And what happened was that just by a coincidence, halfway down in column one was the word vegetative. And then a few millimeters across in the second column, not all related to it because it was several paragraphs on, was the phrase electron microscopy. Now, AI scan, artificial intelligence is not an intelligence. It's just a prediction machine. It's your predictive texting on your phone with $10 to $100 million worth of work to make it pretty good at predicting the next word. And in this case, it just jumped across the gap and it saw vegetative and then the gap, electron microscopy, and the AI just joined them together
wow.
to create the nonsense phrase vegetative electron microscopy. And people keep on seeing it and they're thinking, how on earth did this come into the language? And the AI was just making it up. So do not trust AI as far as you can throw it. It's just a probability machine that makes guesses. And it kind of, it was a big surprise to all the AI people when OpenAI did the first version of ChatGTP. And surprisingly, it sounded almost like a human responding to you, which I guess is more of a criticism of the paucity of human responses and language rather than the intelligence of the AI. And another thing about AI, it is the fastest growing industry ever in the history of human capitalism. And one year, the company OpenAI had an income or revenue of $0. And the next year, it had a revenue of $1 billion, which meant it was making a loss of only $4 billion. And so there's about 16 major corporations spending between $10 and $100 million to make these AIs, and none of them are making a profit. And the only reason they're able to pay wages is that form of gambling that we call the stock market and investors who think that they're onto the next big thing. None of them make a profit. They're all making losses. And the latest thinking is that we're probably on a blind pathway. It's never going to get better than it is. It will not take us to general intelligence, Dr. Paula, which is the sort of stuff that you and I have, so that we know when the kids come up spilling milk across the floor, we've got to do a bunch of things, including take the milk off them and wipe up the mess off the floor and also feed them breakfast. It can't do that yet.
Well, I have a confession, Dr. Cole, and that is that I was relying on AI quite extensively until you and I had this little chat. But that certainly is something interesting. We've run out of time, but certainly we'll be back with you same time, same place next week. That's Dr. Cole Kuszelnicki. I shudder to think how I have mispronounced that name, an Australian science communicator.